morning. I didn't bring the sunshine from South Africa today, but we will praise the Lord regardless. So nice to see the youth here today. That's beautiful. Thank you. It's absolutely marvelous to have you all here. Okay, it says there, Lord, teach me to pray, for I don't know how. Because if I look at this, it says, Jesus says, vain repetitions or pray without ceasing, what Paul says. What is the right way? Vain repetitions or pray without ceasing? So, I want you to think of the meaning of pray. What comes to mind if I say pray? Is it talking to God? Is it crying out to God? Is it grumbling to God? Jesus said, don't use vain repetitions. Does that mean you only say it once and God will respond? And then that intrigued me. Does the Bible give us some examples of what prayer is all about? And then I started searching. Go through the scriptures, and I found that the word pray in the message comes 500 times in the scripture. Now that means something to me. If God says pray 500 times, it means that it's important. In the Garden of Eden, let's start from the beginning. The Lord spoke face to face to Adam and Eve. No prayer, just face to face. No mention of prayer whatsoever. It seems that Adam and Eve didn't have to pray. And then I read further and it says, Adam was 130 years old and he had his third son. And this third son, Seth, was 103 years old and he had a son. Now add the two together. In Africa, we add the things together and I added this and it says 233 years, no word of prayer in Scripture. And then I went to Genesis 4. Seth had a son whom he named Enosh. That's when men and women began praying and worshiping in the name of God. Now that's very interesting. 233 years after Adam, all of a sudden the word pray appears in the scripture. And after this of Enosh, there is no mention of prayer. So what happens if there is no prayer? What happens if we stop praying for 233 years? Let's go to the next one. This one. Genesis 6, 5 and 7. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them, and he put them on the earth. Look at the next one. And it broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Why? Because there was no prayer. So it's time to wipe out the nation, because no prayer. And then I went further, and it says, but God finds one. How many? One righteous person. We read that in Genesis 6. Noah was a righteous man and blameless, a person living on the earth. One. And Noah walked in close fellowship with God. Not praying, it says close fellowship with God. A close fellowship like Adam and Eve when they were in the garden. Noah dies after all those things, nearly 400 years later. Now look at this, 400 years later after Noah passes away, Abraham gets called. No prayer did I find in between that. Abraham says, God says to Abraham, leave your country and go to a country that I will show you. Abraham arrives, Genesis 12, 1. He arrives, Genesis 12:8, and Abram built an altar there and prayed to God. Now, what kind of prayer would you say is this? Abram built an altar there and prayed to God. That's a prayer of gratefulness. God brought him from there to here, and now he's grateful that he's here. One kind of prayer, a grateful prayer. Now, we go further. Abram met King Abimelech. Abram lied about his wife, saying that she's my sister. King Abimelech says, Sarah, you can move into my palace. Now, this is a serious matter in God's eyes. A married woman moving in with a married man. Let's go to Genesis 20. If I can get this one to go. Takes time. Genesis 26 and 7. That night God came to Abimelech in a dream and told him, you are a dead man. You what? You're a dead man, Abimelech, for that woman you have taken is already married. And while I was doing all these research, I was wondering, why didn't God do that to David? David, you cannot do this. But God did not intervene with David. So if we go to the next one, Genesis verse 8, God told Abimelech, return the woman to Abraham because Abraham will pray. Look at that. Abraham will pray for you, for he is a prophet. Then you will live. He is a prophet. He will pray for you. Then you will live. Serious matter in God's eyes. What kind of prayer is that? It's a prayer for repentance. A different kind of prayer. Now, when I look at this, I see God inspires prayers. Whether we like it or not, God inspires us to pray. And God responds to earnest prayer. Hagar, let's move on. Hagar gets chased away from Abraham's family and ends up in the desert. She cries out to God. Let's have a look at that. I don't know what she prayed. It just says that now the angel of the Lord found Hagar by a spring in the wilderness. Hagar answered God by name, praying to God. What kind of prayer is that? That's a great stress prayer. God, I need you now in my life. I'm going to die. Help me. A different kind of prayer. God responded to her earnest prayer, especially when that prayer is specific and to the point. Jesus gave us another example. I don't have the slide for it on how to pray. You can read the story in Luke 18. There was a judge that feared no God and had no time for people. And a widow came to the judge saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. Finally. Now this is Jesus' words. Finally, the judge gave in. What kind of prayer is that? It's persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. Jesus encourages us to repeat, even though he says, do not use vain words. One can do it in a way that still God answers and responds to that prayer. Another example when prayer gets answered speedily. Now I want you to think. Here's Jesus walking in the street. How would you like to have Jesus face to face and ask him for something? Would you like to have that? How would you like to have Jesus face to face and ask him a question? Let me show you what happened in Mark 10. Faith, that's Hagar. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was nearby, he began to shout. He didn't just ask, hi Jesus, hi Jesus. He began to shout. Look at that. He began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What did the crowd say? You're shouting too loud. Quiet. Many people yelled at him. But he shouted louder. What did he do? Son of David, have mercy on me. What kind of prayer is that? Desperate. I need you in my life. And when Jesus heard him, Jesus stopped. What do you want me to do for you? Now Jesus surely could see that this man is blind. Why did Jesus ask him a question like that? He's blind. Jesus can see that. Rabbi, I want to see. Jesus wants him to mention it, to point it out. And what did Jesus say to him? Go, for your faith has healed you. Isn't that beautiful? Face to face with Jesus. Go, for your faith has healed you. There's the blind man. Anyone can see he's blind. He's blind. Go to the next one. Can we grumble to God? Can I really go to God and grumble? Let's see what we read about grumbling before God. God, I need you. Do not complain as the Israelites did and were destroyed by this destroyer. We can read that in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Do not complain as the Israelites did and were destroyed. God wants us to be persistent with faith in prayers. No backing away from our trust in Him. Just no complaining. No grumbling. Let's go to another example. There was a devastating drought in the land of Israel. What happens now? What do you do when there is no food for 3 years in a row? Elijah went up to Mount Carmel. There he bowed down on the ground and put his face down and prayed. Elijah said to his servant, go and look toward the sea. Just once, go and see. He's a prophet. Go and see something. No. Second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, seven times Elijah said, go and see. A prophet praying to God, desperate in need for a nation that is in drought. Seven times. Faith, belief, and final victory. Let's go to the next one. 1 Samuel Disconnect it, Dan, for us, and then you can forward for us. The little buzz on the side. We need batteries. And then move to the next slide. Is it not moving forward? Frozen. Shall we pray seven times? I will continue while they're sorting out the technology there. In 1 Samuel 1:9 to 18, and I'm just going to give you a short one. Hannah was in bitterness of soul. She prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. How did she pray? She wept in anguish. No complaining. God, I am barren. All I want is a son. What did she do? She made a vow. And that vow, Hannah made a vow to God. I will give my son to the Lord all the days of his life. Do we pray sometimes and make a vow to God? A different type of prayer. A different type with anguish. Wept in anguish. Hannah prayed earnestly so much that the prophet Elijah, here comes the prophet. Now you can imagine if Jim is sitting here praying and Craig walks in and says, you can't come in here when you're drunk. But that's exactly what happened here. Hannah looked like if she is drunk praying in the temple. And the prophet said to her, you cannot come in here drunk and then pray. And then we read in verse 21, it says, Hannah, go in peace. The God of Israel grants you your petition, which you have asked him. An answered prayer, a sincere prayer, an anguished prayer, a different kind of prayer, not babbling, not vain repetitions. With a humble heart and a contrite spirit and bitterness in the soul, this is what drives a person onto your knees, and then pray fervently. I want to go to the next one, Matthew 26:41-46. Here Jesus says to his disciples, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. A second time, I thought Jesus said, no vain repetitions. Jesus, go for a second time. And he prayed the same words. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Anguish, deep, sincere anguish from Christ himself, our Savior, speaking to our Father in heaven. What happened that? A third time Jesus went, no vain repetitions, with anguish, with a sincere heart. If it is your will, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Now I learned from these verses to be very specific in asking God with persistence, by faith, and sometimes with fasting. Paul says, make your request known to God without ceasing. Persistence by faith in asking. I'm convinced the cry of a righteous person will move the hand of God. I am convinced. You got that? I'm convinced that the righteous person will move the hand of God. My wife and I at the moment working through Psalms. You want to see prayers? Work line by line through Psalms. Also, Jesus got up early in the morning to go to a solitary place to pray and speak to the Father. And what did God say? Today you will do this, listen to me. And God gave him certain directions on what to do. Alone. And then the disciples ask him, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Now they've been with Jesus a long time. And here they come and they say, teach us to pray. And the Lord gave them the Lord's Prayer, which is still with us today. Now we are all walking on a spiritual path. Everyone here that have accepted Christ as your Savior, we're walking on a spiritual path. It's a tight rope sometimes. And the rope gets shaken sometimes. What shakes it? Circumstances, Satan, sometimes even God, our loving Father, shakes us. Why? Because God wants our attention. There may be many reasons why God shakes it. And here are three reasons. God uses whatever adversity we are facing, and God will even use fiery trials to burn off those things that keep us away from total commitment to God. Why are we praying? Total commitment to God. Doesn't matter how you pray, what you pray, how you pray is important. To have total commitment to God. Here's Paul's first reason, that we might be prepared to serve. Only those who endured, listen to this one, I found this so beautiful and deep. Only those who endured such trials while they were wrapped in the blanket of God's comfort, wrapped in the blanket of God's comfort, those have actually been through the stinging experience. These are the best counselors that God can use for His purpose to serve others. We cannot go and serve others unless you've got total experience and encouragement from the Holy Spirit. Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 1:1-3 and 4, God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort, so that we can comfort others when they are in trouble. Isn't that a nice feeling? I can go and comfort others who are in the same mindset that I was and I've got experience. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. That's a prayer of praise. A different kind of prayer again. A prayer of praise. We praised in our hymns this morning so many ways. Now look at the chain reaction. We suffer, God comes alongside to comfort us. We see others suffer, we step alongside to comfort them. With God firmly around His arm around our shoulders, we have the strength to place our arm around those people that suffer. Reason two. Not to trust. You can go to 2 Corinthians 1 or Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Just move forward there if it gets on. Trust in the Lord with some part of your heart. Does that say that? Some part of your heart? Trust in the Lord with a little bit of your heart. No. All your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all, not just a little bit, in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Can I go and take my hand and put it around somebody and go and encourage that person? Only if I've gone through that experience. So when we surrender and come to a complete end of ourselves, we will learn the power of total dependence of our loving Father. We have to lay down our life and decide to trust Him completely. We sang that this morning again. God is shaking our rope for a reason. It is His way of teaching us that we need Him. We were created. Why were we created? We were created to need Him and honor Him. You can read that in Proverbs. Reason three, learn to give. Go to the next slide. 2 Corinthians 1:11. You are helping us by praying. See that? By praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. All over from Noah's time right up to today. Prayer is so important in our lives of the Christian life. All these people in Corinth joined Paul. People gave thanks, including Paul himself. Jesus prayed many times. How did Jesus pray? To help others. He took the bread and the fish and He looked up to heaven and He thanked God. A thankful prayer. And with that little bit, He fed 5,000. God is interested in our prayers as servants to spread the gospel. To do what? To spread the gospel. That's why God urges us to present ourselves as living sacrifices. Pray to Him that we want to be servants of Jesus. Now I want to throw you back in again. Do you want to see Jesus face to face, walking along the road? Have mercy on me. And then say, I want to be your servant to others. I want to be your ambassador. I want to evangelize and bring another person to understand the love of God. That's the wind of affliction that is coming to us as Christians to experience these things so that we can be prepared to serve others. Yes, it is God is allowing to our rope to be shaken. But it's also God. Look at this. I came across this one. It is also God that puts the safety net underneath this tight rope of faith that we are walking on in this life. Yes, it is God who spreads that safety net. God gave us the righteousness of Christ. God looks at us the same way as He looks at Jesus. The most wonderful thing, you can read that in 1 Corinthians 1:30. It popped out, and I've read it so many times. God gave us the righteousness through Christ Jesus. Righteousness. He washed us clean and gave us His very own righteousness. And then we go to the next slide, and it says, James 5:16. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Produce what? Some results. Wonderful results, James writes. Now, I've read the next verse many times in my life. And if you can't remember anything today, I want you to remember the next verse. First Peter 3:12. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. Have you got that deep inside your heart and your mind? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. And I'm so grateful for His abundant grace. Our mighty God comforts us when we struggle. Every affliction is also God's concern to us. He genuinely cares, and His care runs deep in the heart of God, the same as ours. Teach us to pray, Lord. If you want to do, and we have done now the Bible study with Dr. Andy Stanley, and a new thing, in all my years, he brought out something that really shook me. Whether we pray, whether we worship, whether we come to church, we have to read the Scripture and follow the principles. Can everyone say this word? I'm going to say it, and I want you to say it with me. Principles. Principles that God is bringing out in the Scripture. Now, prayer is to talk to God, but it's not a one-way conversation. We go to the next slide. Silence is empty. Isn't empty. It's full of answers. Here's another one. If there is a human being, are you a human being? If there is a human being that can pray, there must be a God that can answer. That hit me when I read that. We need to understand, if we go to the next one, we need to understand that the purpose of prayer is not for God to please us, but for God to change us. Change us. How can I change if I just have a one-way conversation to God and don't listen to Him? Because there's principles in Scripture that God wants us to follow and go through. It's important to have that attitude when we pray. The next slide. We went on a mission trip in Mexico, and there was this little girl there. I've mentioned this before. She spoke Spanish. She asked for something I did not understand, and I asked one of the teachers, what is she saying? She looked so desperate. She put her hands together, and she said, I want to speak to Jesus. Shook me. I want to speak to Jesus. Prayer should be a two-way dialogue. But how? And I searched more on the internet, and I came across Dr. Charles Stanley, And he gave seven steps, before I close, seven steps to hear when and what God wants us to know. Has anyone here seen the movie The War Room? I encourage you, see that movie not once, not twice. I've seen it three times. Go, as Jesus said, go into your closet and speak to Jesus like that little girl. I want to speak to Jesus. Become still and meditate on God's Word. Take a pen and write down the principles. What's that word? Principles. Write it down with a repentant heart and a clear conscience. And I'm going to give you seven S's. That's what I learned there from Dr. Charles Stanley. Let's go to the next one. The first one is season. Now, what is season? The first S. Become and still before God. A regular time to become still before God. Jesus said, go into your closet. Why? When there's a masses of people walking and running down the street? No, in your closet. Quiet. There's a season. The next S. Stillness. Stillness in the mind with a contrite spirit. Become still at the feet of Jesus. I want to speak to Jesus. That's the attitude of prayer. The next exclusion. Alone with God. No disturbance with a clear conscience before the throne of grace. I want you to imagine you're alone with just you and the Almighty God. Just you and the Almighty God. What? What a picture. What a revelation to have that. Go to the next. Silence. Be quiet before God with a repentant, receptive, humble heart. Silence. Not grumbling. The next one. Self-control. Complete focus on God. Complete focus on God. Concentrate on God's love that He has for you and for me. I'm before the throne of grace at the feet of Jesus, and it's just us before God, before the throne of grace. What kind of prayer would that be? Will God respond to such a prayer? Let's go to the next S. Sensitive. Keen to be aware of God's presence. Don't worry about the world out there. Don't worry about all the things going on there. Keen, sensitive with God and Christ in your closet. Alone with God. No other disturbance. And then the last one, a submissive spirit. Surrender everything to Jesus. Total submission. So when I look at this, after accepting Jesus Christ, God sees us as righteous. Why do we pray? Because God made us righteous through Christ Jesus. Now, there's all kinds of prayers. I just named five. There's 495, your homework for the next week. 495 other type of prayers that one can write down the principles, whether it is in anguish and whether it is in praising. There are different ways to pray. Teach me to pray, Lord, for I don't know how. It's all in Scripture. We just need the principles that go with it. Listen to what God's Spirit says. Write down the principles, what comes to mind, and search the Scripture references for those principles. And what will you end up with? Love God. Love others. Love all. Let us pray. Our Father, each one of us here are coming to the throne of grace. We don't come to grumble, and we don't come to yell, and we don't come to ask for anything other than to humble ourselves at the feet of Christ. Each one of us encounters some issues in our lives as we walk on this tight rope called life. That's why we're praying to you. That's why we're worshiping you. You know better than anyone else about a particular issue. And I want everyone here to think of a particular issue, the challenge that cannot get resolved. That's why we come to Jesus, to praise Him and to submit all our cares to you, Jesus. But there is one issue, God, in our lives, a stubborn one that won't let go. And we feel powerless because of this one issue. And we need your help. As Jesus said, let this cup pass me by. But not my will, but your will be done. As I cast this burden at the feet of Jesus in my mind, and I know you care, I believe it wholeheartedly. I accept it and I give you praise. We've seen your power and your grace so many times, and we want to believe you. Holy Spirit, please grant us the wisdom to overturn this issue that is in our lives. This rope that is getting shaken. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We confess our faith. And we know that you're able to help us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being right here with us in this room. Right now, before the throne of grace. We thank you for your deep love, your power, and your grace to help us. Jesus, you took us out of this world. God, you took us out of the darkness of this world, and you brought us into the righteous life of Jesus Christ. Living human beings with Christ's love shining in us and through us. What a privilege. And help us then to go into our war room, in our closet, one-on-one with God the Almighty. And say, Jesus, I want to speak to you. We confess that our life belongs to the risen Christ. We rejoice in that thought. And that's why we're worshiping, singing, and praying to you. Thank you for the privilege of coming here with your people. And we thank you now for the food. We ask for your blessing on it. And also the blessing on the fellowship. Let the food strengthen our bodies so that we may be strong to serve one another. And together to serve you. In the mighty name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray it. Amen.